Talk Radio.
Today is October the 20th,
2015. Wow. Only got a few more months. A few more months to Christmas, friends. Well, a couple. Not even a few. And I am glad to be here today. This is a special program. We usually don't do a Tuesday program, but the Lord put it on my heart to do so, and I wanted to clear up some things, and I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom and grace to do it, and it's not to be done with any kind of animosity or any kind of vengeance or vindictive spirit in any way. I think we need to just clear up certain so-called scriptures or passages people like to quote, and they use them for like it's a genie in a bottle type mentality. And really what it's called is mysticism, because it's like when people try to take scripture and use it as some kind of formula to get something or to be able to create something or be able to do something with it, and they just snatch scripture out the air like we have some type of power in and of ourselves to just, you know, manipulate God's word. And I think it's something that needs to be talked about and something that needs to be said about it, especially when it comes to the particular scripture that we're going to be talking about, which is Proverbs 18, verse 21, that a lot of people like to quote the first part B of it, but they don't quote the whole passage, which makes them, it shows a lack of wisdom in doing that. Proverbs 18, 20, one says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Those that love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. And we're going to delve into this, and we're going to kind of unpack some other scriptures that go right along with it, because one thing we cannot do is eisegete a passage out of the text and try to make it say something like it's some kind of formula or it's some kind of scripture that if you say something, then you're speaking evil on yourself, or you're speaking curses, or you're speaking negative on yourself. And I went through YouTube and I was amazed at all of the different opinions about it, because that's what they were doing, were giving opinions. They never cross-reference any scripture with a scripture. They just take one passage, and they don't even take the whole passage. They just take one passage of scripture, and they make that a pretext. And that's what we're gonna hinge on. That one passage now has become some kind of text or some kind of formula for if you say something to somebody, oh, you don't say that. Oh, you don't speak negative on yourself. Oh, if somebody has a backache and they say they have a backache, and you say, oh, no, you shouldn't speak negative, you shouldn't say that. Well, the reality is their back is in pain. By them not saying it, it's not going to make the pain go away. The pain is there. You want somebody to pray for you or give you some Tylenol or some kind of pain reliever, because FYI, in this real world that we live in, these bodies are failing us. They're going back to the dust one day. And I get so upset when people try to manipulate God's word and act like that you're not going to get sick down here and that you're guaranteed healing down here and you're guaranteed all of these so-called, you know, health, wealth, and prosperity. Does God heal? Absolutely. I would be the first one to tell you he's healed me. But he's used doctors to do it. And a bunch of pain medication. Because I shouldn't be driving truck after 17 heart attacks and 5 stents and 2 open heart surgeries. I shouldn't be driving a commercial vehicle. But guess what? I'm driving. And God is still graciously keeping me around, allowing me to make a living. But nonetheless, many people will try to convince me and others that if you don't have your healing, it's because you're lacking the knowledge that they have. If you don't get your stuff or you don't get what you asked for, then you didn't tap into what I know. And friends, it's just not biblical. Some of them might mean well, but meaning well and rightly dividing the word of God is two different things. Some people just need to hush their mouth because they really pervert the word of God. And we're going to look at these scriptures and try to, you know, get some clarity of what the Bible is saying and definitely what it's not saying. Amen? So let us pray. Let us pray, and then we'll jump right in. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord God, this special day, Lord God. And it's special because you're giving, putting it on my heart, impressed up on my heart, Lord, that we should talk about it. I don't have the answers, Lord, thank God, but you do. And the answers are all in your holy writ, Lord. We don't have to go around making up anything, and we sure don't have to go around manipulating your word or trying to snatch a rabbit out the hat, Lord. Your word is true. You said let God be true and every man a liar. So when it comes to difficult passages or passages that people would like to manipulate and twist to their own liking, trying to make it say something that it's not, Lord, we know, Lord God, we can go and look at other passages of the scriptures because you're so clear and concise, Lord God, that you always back up what you say in other passages, in other parts of the Bible. So we thank you, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that I decrease. Fill us up with your spirit. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. May my mind and my heart be sensitive to those who may be listening today that may have difficulty with this. But, Lord, nonetheless, may you speak to them, Lord, that we can rightly divide the word of truth and that your word will be true, and that we'll have clarity and understanding and wisdom in all things. We love you, we praise you, we bless you. In Jesus' holy name, we say amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. And this is a special broadcast of the Prodigal Church Hour. Okay, let's dig in. Let's dig in. We already know, we went through the scriptures. It says in Proverbs 18:21, this is the text at hand, this is the main topic. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, first of all, I'm going to just give us some scenarios of what it does not mean. This does not mean I can speak death to you by saying, drop dead, or go to hell, or, you know, you're gonna die tomorrow. I have no power to create or determine your life or determine any evil upon you whatsoever, not only if you're a child of God, but if you're not a child of God, I can't speak any kind of curses on you or speak any kind of words that would make you drop dead. My words have no power over you, so a saved person or a lost person. Now, my words can bring encouragement to you and healing to you and comfort to you. I can build you up, and we're going to look at scriptures about how these words or how our words do have the power to heal and to comfort and bring you peace, bring you encouragement, bring you strength. That's what the body of Christ is for, to use the words of God are to be sweet as a honeycomb, to bring you nourishing. Spiritual food, spiritual manna should bring you spiritual encouragement. But as far as me bringing down, if I say something negative to you, yes, can that affect you emotionally? Yes, absolutely. Can it bring you discouragement? Yes, it can. Because if I tell you, if I go around, all I'm doing is tearing you down and bringing negativity towards you, and I never build you up, then of course, and all it would take is somebody else to come right behind me and bring that same type of attitude, and there we have spoke death into you. Because all we do is tear you down instead of encouraging you, instead of stimulating you to love and good works. All we do is speak negative. You ain't nothing. You ain't going to be nothing. And we can do that to our children. That's what the word death means. See, if I go around speaking ungodly things to you, I am murdering you with my tongue. I'm murdering you with words, but not physically. But I do have the ability, if I slander you into the right people, I could get you put in jail. So there's a way that it could bring, I could get you, if we were on a, if I had 12 jurors and we were voting and we're trying to find out if you did a crime or something, all it would take is one or two people to say, I think he's guilty. And we know in our heart of hearts that you're not, but we could have the power to put you to death. But that's different than this mysticism that's going around, or this kind of, you know, I spoke this to this person, or I can speak life to this person, or I can speak this to this person. Listen, nobody ain't going to tell me that I didn't have two heart attack or two open heart surgeries, or they didn't put five stents in me. Nobody's going to tell me that. Well, you know, the reason you don't have this or the reason you have that is because, you know, there's probably curses on you. What? I'm a child of the king. There's no curses on the child of the king. My Lord went to Calvary's cross that all curses are removed from me. How am I going to have a curse when the Holy Spirit is in me? How am I going to have any kind of unclean spirit around or in me bringing havoc or that can bring destruction on me when God Almighty is in me? That's contrary to the word of God. And you'll hear people even try to use, well, you know, they might have a demon in them. Well, if they're a believer, they ain't got no demons in them. I promise you that. Ain't no demons in a believer. Might be in a fake believer or a make believer, but you're not going to find a demon in a real Christian. I tell you, if a demon is in them, it's because they're not saved. They're not saved. But Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So this is a person that loves to speak negativity. They speak discouragement instead of encouraging words. They always want to step on you and suppress you and keep you from being positive, to be fruitful, to be happy, to be joyful. This is not a person that's speaking good things to you, but their words can't necessarily just, not like I'm, like people are trying to use this as some kind of mysticism. If you go around saying something negative, then that means you just spoke negativity in your life. That's not what the scripture is. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth. It's called eisegete or exegete. To exegete a passage means to pull out or draw out the true meaning of that passage in the context that it was said. And by the, you have to determine what did the author mean when they said it. One thing we know for sure, that this does not have some kind of mystical powers to speak death. If I said, man, you know, President Obama going to die tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and it don't come to pass, then what you going to call me, a false prophet, right? If I say that the president could die at any time, then I'm not speaking nothing negative. That's a possibility. We all could die at any time. I might die tomorrow. I might die today. And, ooh, he just spoke negativity over his life. Really? See, this is not that. This is not mysticism, friend. This is not some hocus-pocus or magical book that you just start snatching scriptures out to make them fit into your own little spiritual workbook. We're not witches. This is not witchcraft. It's no Houdini here. No voodoo. Show me anywhere in scripture that somebody spoke something negative and a person died because they said something. Just show it to me. I'd be more than happy. Text it to me, write me. Show me anywhere where somebody spoke death over somebody except what God told him when he sent prophets and said to Israel. Every prophet that he sent, guess what? They weren't speaking their own words. They were speaking the words of God. Every prophet, Jeremiah speaks nothing but God's words. Moses spoke nothing but the words that God put in his mouth to speak. That's why you don't listen to what I say. You test what I say in light of Scripture, because God's word always speaks. Man don't speak for God. Man don't speak out apart from God. Excuse me. Man do not speak apart from God. We speak the oracles of God, His word, His rhema word. But if I speak the word of God, I better be speaking from the Spirit of God. Better not be speaking, going around saying that God does save the Lord. Tomorrow, the world is going to end. Be like that that fool Harold Camping, who three separate occasions wrote books and had people giving money. And he, you know, I pray that he got it right. I pray that his soul is at peace, because he caused a lot of damage in the body of Christ with his foolishness, naming dates and saying, thus saith the Lord, and God told him, and he figured out the magic formula for the time and when Jesus was coming back and all. See, we need to test everybody and everything in light of Scripture and stop listening to people that don't rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? So, back to our text. Let's look at a little commentary on this, just so we get some clarity. In this particular verse, again, let's go back here. Verse 21 of Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it, notice what he says, and those who love, what do they love? They love negativity, because they love death and life. Those who love it will eat of its fruits. Okay. This commentary says here, a man may do a great deal of good or a great deal of hurt, both to others and to himself, according to the use he makes of his what? His tongue. Now, the tongue used in this particular passage is used as, autonomy. In other words, when the news, if you're watching the news sometime and it says, the White House released a press, a press release today. Now, did the White House really release a press release? It's a building. The White House is a building. It didn't say the president released it. It didn't say anybody in the building released it. It said the White House. So it's using words, it's using an autonomy, which is taking the place. It means that the president or that the body of government in the White House, the people that are in the White House, they released a press release. They released information to the public. But the White House physically did not release anything. It's just like when God talks about sin. Sometimes it's talked about in a person or as a noun, but guess what? Sin always reverts back to us, because we are the sin bearers. We are the ones that carry out sin. Sin doesn't operate apart from us. Sin is not just walking around and it jumps on us. No, we're the culprit behind the sin. So it's an autonomy of, when you talk about the tongue, it says, many a one has been his own death by a foul tongue. Listen, that's why I got a real big problem with cursing Christians. Why? Because they are speaking life and death. Because see, anytime we go around just blasting, dropping F-bombs, you know, MF this, blankety blank that, and all this, and then you want to call yourself a Christian, you ain't speaking nothing but life and death. That's nothing but negativity. That's not building up anyone. You know, James talks about this tongue. Let's jump over to James right quick, because it could set a forest on fire. It could set a... Now, your tongue is not operating apart from you. It is you. It's come, because everything that we say, it comes from our heart. Remember, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him, because it's coming from the heart. And I think a lot of times folks just walk around and they don't even think. They just say whatever they want to say. Why? Because it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart.
I'm on the phone.
9600.
I'm
on the phone.
Ah.
I'm on the phone. Yeah, we, a lot of times people will just, you know, they can say whatever they want, and they act like their tongue is moving all by itself. It don't have no kind of responsibility. But our Bible talks about this tongue, and it's a very dangerous instrument. James chapter 3, let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we shall incur stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Now, it's amazing how we can get animals to obey us, but we can't get our tongue in order. Because our mouth, it's just all over the place. And see, some women, especially women, because they use their tongue to fight. They'll use their tongue to spew out hurt. They'll speak negativity. In other words, this is where we speak life and death. It's in the power of the tongue. It can cause destruction. It can tear down. It can kill. It can kill someone's spirit. It's not about killing you, which your words don't have the power to create. You can't create death over somebody just by saying, drop dead. But you can kill their spirit. You can crush someone's spirit. You can tear down someone. You can cause depression on someone because you speak negativity to them, or you curse them out, or you blast their name, or you tear down their character or their integrity. That's what the author is trying to relate to. This has nothing to do with a physical word that you say to somebody that's going to cause them to drop dead. It's about crushing their spirit. Remember, the Bible is about spiritual. It's not like you, like when we talk about having the sword of the spirit, we don't literally have, we ain't pulling out a sword. Come on. It's another autonomy. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. And the word of God, it should be speaking encouraging words, and words that build up, not words that hurt and harm and tear down. Amen? So we see that. He says, now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by the strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. You notice what James says some powerful stuff about. He's surely speaking some negative stuff about the tongue, ain't he? No, he's speaking truth. Because all of us have the power to build up or tear down a person. We have the ability to encourage or discourage. We have the words to bring, we have the ability to bring healing, or we have the word to bring hurt and shame and disgrace. Look at some of the movies you watch. Look at some of the things you hear. Look at when people go around tearing down other people's character and defaming them. Look at some of the women that have been affected in relationships when they break up with somebody. The person that they broke up with now starts to slander them and starts to spread negativity, putting out information that was private between them and that person. Male or female, this goes both ways. That's what the proverb is saying. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Because our tongues are able to set the world on fire. Look at all of the negative music you hear now. Tell me this stuff people don't hear this and they regurgitate it. Next thing you know, you got people, it used to be a shame to use the B word. Now women are embracing it. It really did. Used to, the N word was an insult at one some 25, 30 years ago. Now, everybody's saying. But you see how you speak negativity enough, next thing you know, we're embracing the negative. And we're calling it a good. Not in my Bible, friends. Not in my Bible. Again, he says, verse 7, for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed as has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. The tongue, friends. It's like a snake pit. Watch when someone gets angry with you that does not have the Holy Spirit and they can't control and bridle their tongue. Look what will happen. Look what they will spew out at you. You blank, blank, blank. You this, you that. You ain't this, you ain't that. They will go in on you and tear you down with their words. They will kill you, murder you with their words. The author of this proverb is not talking about us having the ability to kill someone by saying, I kill you with my words. The author of this proverb is telling us that we have the ability to build up someone spiritually, and we have the ability to murder them spiritually. And yes, it could lead to a physical death if you tear somebody down to the right people, or if you go and spread gossip, or malicious slander towards that person, and that person is arrested for something they didn't even do. A lying tongue. Jesus said all liars will have their place in the lake that burneth with fire. What do you do when you lie? You're speaking untruths. You're speaking negative. You're speaking something about something or someone that is not true. And that untrue statement that you make could cause someone prison time. It could cause someone to go to the electric chair. All I have to do is say, I saw that person kill 50 people. I was an eyewitness. Just enough to plant a seed where they're watching you now. He says that, but every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the what? Imago Deo, the image of and likeness of our Father, our Heavenly Father, of our God. Oh yeah, that's what we do. One minute we in church praising the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. As soon as we get out of church, why is she wearing that hat? Why is he here? Why is they together? And so on and so on and so on. The tongue speaking negativity. What'd that person do to you? And even if they did do something to you, are you a Christian? Or are you a crutch? Or are you crooked? See, we're supposed to be loving our enemies. Even if you don't like the person in church, you're supposed to be loving your enemy. See, this cuts right to the core of what the tongue does. Because why everybody worrying about trying to go around here speaking so-called positive confession? Oh, I speak good over my life. I speak this over my life. You can speak all that you want. Guess what? One of these days, I love you to speak your life into life for the rest of your life. Stay down here for the rest of your life. Matter of fact, you ain't going to never die if you got this so-called positive confession that you can speak life into yourself. Stay here for the rest of your life. You should be here when Christ comes back. When there's nobody here, you should still be here. Why? Because you so-called got the power to speak life over your life. In my fact, if you got the power to do that, you should be able to have the power to speak sin out of here. That way none of us die. But it don't work like that. It does not work like that. Amen? What else does James have to say for us? Verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless. It is a restless evil. Ooh, God has said we need to wash our mouths out. He said we need to wash our mouths out. We need to be consecrated at the mouth. We need to be healed from filthy. We really need a heart. A heart healing. Because, see, if Christians are talking like that, and James was talking about Christians, he's talking to Christian folks. He's talking to the world. He's writing to Christians. He says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both what? Blessings and cursings. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Did you hear what James says? He's not contradicting Proverbs. He's confirming Proverbs that the tongue has the ability to give blessings and cursings. This should clear up a lot of confusion about this life and death and the power of the tongue. Because my Bible tells me clearly that this tongue is a poison. It's like a serpent's tongue, ready to reach out and bite somebody. All of us got a problem with our tongue. If we don't check it at the cross, if we don't take it to the cross, if we don't say, Lord, help me speak encouraging words. Help me to be a vessel where my mouth brings forth praises instead of curses. Instead of tearing down, Lord, let me build up my brother and sister. Let me encourage my brother and sister. Let me love my brother and sister with words of healing. See, when we start speaking encouraging words to other people in the body of Christ, guess what? They'll start speaking encouraging words to the body of Christ. When we are speaking negative things to people in the body of Christ, guess what? We bring that poison right around with us. We bring that poison right into the body of Christ. And God says we're supposed to be new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are not here to tear down other brothers and sisters with negative speech, speaking negative words to them. Our job as Christians is to build up one another, and we're going to look at that. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here. Thank you for coming. I see those. 646-668-8468. Just got here. Still on the phone. He's
29. How's it going? Thank you so much. Washington,
Joe Chief.
And speaking of Jeff Bush, Jeff
Hendo
is here at CNN.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dale. Okay.
Again, we see in Ephesians 4:29, he tells us, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. See, our mouths, friends, we have the ability to build up. God is encouraging us to use our mouths for his glory, that we may do what? Give grace to the hearer. We are to build up one another. We're commanded by Scripture as children of the Most High God. When he saved us, he didn't save us for ourselves. He saved us to build up, to encourage, that we may bring grace to those who hear. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. What did James say? James says, hey, and the tongue, verse 6, and the tongue, for those who just come in, James 3:6, you can write it down and read all the way through. Matter of fact, James chapter 3. But you read it all the way through. He says, but verse 6, he says, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the curse or the course of our life. And as it's set on fire by hell. Do you see what he said? He said this tongue defiles the whole body because all what we say, whether it be encouraging words or discouraging or negative words or words that tear down someone's spirit or crushes someone's spirit, these words have power to tear down someone. And God is not pleased when we tear down. He says, the latter part of verse 6, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. That's not positive words right there about this tongue. This is someone who is not allowing the Spirit of God to bridle their tongue. You're not allowing the Spirit of God to build you up that you may have be able to give out blessings instead of cursing. No, we're not perfect. We're not going to get everything right. We're not going to do it right every day. But guess what, friend? When you hear cursing Christians dropping F-bombs all over the place, and that seems to be the pattern of their life, and they always making excuses that they're not perfect, no, you're not delivered. You're not saved. Let's just get it right. I used to be that truck driver with a filthy mouth. I know what it's like to be under the control of that flesh and your mess all them unclean spirits. But shoot, when you become a new creation, old things have passed away, and the new has come. If you're allowing the Word of God to transform you and make you into what God wants you to be, that way you can have no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Matthew 12, verse 35 through 37. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for what? Every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified. What does justify mean? Declared righteous. And by your words, you will be condemned. So much for, I can say what I want to say because I'm under grace. I can say what I want to say because God is my God. He's my Heavenly Father. And I know me and Jesus got a good relationship. And I know me and the Lord, we okay. And no, you better read what Jesus said. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. He's talking about the heart. What's in us, friends, is a direct reflection. When it comes out of our mouth, it comes from the heart. When it rolls off our tongue, it's either going to bring healing, words of encouragement, words that build up, or it's going to bring discouragement and negativity that tears down. And God has said, if we're bringing forth negativity, God's going to hold us accountable for every idle word. Every idle word, no matter whatever we said back, whatever. God had a big old plasma screen in heaven. I like to always say that. I don't know if he do, but he's going to say, this was your life, and he's going to play back in rapid form everything that we did, whether it was good or bad. He's going to play it back to us. And he ain't missing a beat because he's a great photographer, videotographer. He got a great video crew. The angels are recording. They're watching everything we do, friends. They're reporting back to them. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We all stumble in this area, but guess what? Long as we're striving, are we striving to let your speech always be gracious? Are we trying to make people comfortable when we talk to them? Do we want them to be offended, or do we want them to be encouraged? Do we want to have dialogue with people? I'm a very passionate person when it comes to the Word of God. I was passionate in my sin, though. Some people mistake that passion as, oh, you're angry, you're upset, you're this. No, it's called passion. And guess what? Everybody has a certain demeanor and character about them. Certain things that we were in the world, Paul was murdering Christians. He had a zeal for that. Guess what? When Paul got saved, when Saul became Paul and Paul became a Christian, guess what? That passion he had for the Lord, it just was flipped inside out, and God took him and used his zeal, but he used his zeal for recruiting Christians where he used to kill them. I have the same passion. I'm trying to win souls. I'm trying to get people to have this fire, get on fire for God, and get right. It's time for us to wake up. The world is not going to stop. The world is still functioning. Satan is not going to stop doing what he's doing, killing, stealing, and destroying. Some of us are helping him. Some of us are really secret agent Christians. We're on his team. We're double agents, 007s for the devil, for masquerading and perpetrating to be Christians, but we really sold out our souls because we want to be in the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to walk like the world. We want to dress like the world. We want the world to embrace us. We want to just be loved in this PC world, politically correct. Everybody just love on me. My name is Joel Osteen, friend. I'm not going to sit here at Ronald McDonald and smile at you and tell you everything's going to be all right, because that's not biblical. My Bible says Jesus is coming back. My Bible says he's going to pour out 21 judgments on this earth one day. The wrath of God is coming. You can believe that. And just because he ain't going to teach the Bible don't mean it ain't going to happen. But he's going to have to give an account for everything he did, because the Bible said, remember I said in verse 1 of this same chapter, James, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. He's teaching people lies from the pit of hell because he won't teach you the whole counsel of God. He won't tell people they need to repent. He won't tell people they need to come out of that sin, come out of that homosexuality, and stop being double-minded, because he's double-minded. Well, how you know that? Well, look at his ministry. Look at what he teach. He never talks about, see, he's not going to tell you not to do this or do that. He's going to give you all of the scriptures that pertain to fluff, and he's going to misrepresent those scriptures. But that's another topic. James 3:6-9, he says, and the tongue is a fire. We already read it, but I'm going to read it again. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. It's amazing how we can tame the animal kingdom, but we can't tame our tongue. You know why? We need the Holy Spirit to tame our tongue. We need the Holy Spirit to bridle us. We need the Holy Spirit to keep us from speaking things that are not good, that are not wholesome, that don't build up. Because there's never an excuse to curse for a Christian, to curse out another man, Christian or non-Christian. You blow your witness. And once you speak that word out your mouth, you can't recall it. Once you call somebody a jerk or, you know, something, whatever is negative, because those are mild words now, but you know what I'm talking about. We know how to curse. We wouldn't always say. We know what to say. Some folks still cursing like a sailor. You need to take that to the cross. You need to go to Jesus and say, Lord, clean my mouth out. Clean my heart out. Make in me a clean heart. Remember David said in Psalms 51, created me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Give me a steadfast spirit. See, reason we don't have clean hearts, we ain't asking him for that. We want stuff. We're going around speaking for material things, but we don't want to speak for cleansing in our hearts. Don't go around, why are we going around asking for the material things? Don't you think Satan would give you those things to make you think God gave them to you? Try asking God for things that really matter. How about, Lord, let me be an encourager. Let me build up somebody. Let me go and give them some spiritual nuggets that will help their walk. A friend of mine was telling me that one of her coworkers yesterday, she gave words of encouragement, gave words of healing. That's what it's about, friends. This word ain't just for us to have a big old pumpkin head and say, oh, I know my scripture, I memorized 25 verses. How about you and I sharing those with someone that might need some encouraging? They need to be built up. Because remember our text, life, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. See, if I love death in life, because death ain't bad for the Christian. I want anybody, one of these days, we all going to check out of here, either by rapture or by death. But guess what? If you're a believer, you don't have to fear no death. Read 1 Corinthians 15. He tells us, death, where is your sting? We don't worry about going to the grave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what? Somebody told you you're going to drop dead tomorrow. Amen. I'm going home. See, this is a belief. We have the victory already. We already are more than conquerors. We have already overcome. There's no God going to take away his Holy Spirit from you. You've been sealed. We are children of the Most High God. And because we're children of the Most High God, we don't have to fear about someone speaking anything over us that's going to cause us. Because what did he say? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's in Romans chapter 8. Not death. Not trials. Not suffering. It don't matter if they come and take us to jail for being a Christian. We are already seated in the heavens. Ephesians 2. We're already seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. So we need to stop worrying about what letting people define scripture with one scripture when the Bible clearly tells us, Proverbs 10:19-21, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Woo! Man, oh, that's so negative. Well, you better take it up with the Heavenly Father. He wrote it. It's his word. He says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. See, you ever heard somebody just rattle on, yak, they think they know everything. Yak. They're jack of all trades, master of none. Yak. They just know everything. He says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Sometimes you just have to listen and let folks just prove their foolishness, prove their transgression, because they were over there got diarrhea of the mouth. Then he says what? The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. You want to have some valuables? Bridle your tongue, the tongue of the righteous. Have a tongue of righteousness. When you speak, it should be healing. When you're in the barber shop, the beauty shop, ladies, men, we should be speaking healing. We should be speaking words of encouragement. Yes, we tell people the truth, but then we build them up after that with, hey, you need to get right with Jesus. You must be born again, brother, sister. You must trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and watch him direct your path. Yes, speak that. And say, man, yeah, do you have a personal relationship? Sister, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you given your life to him? I didn't say, did you walk an aisle? I didn't say, did you say a sinner's prayer? I'm asking you, have you trusted him with all of you? Have you given yourself away? Or are you still holding on to 10%? See, when God is knocking at the door of our heart, or when he's trying to come in, guess what he wants to do? He wants to come in and look in all our closets. And he wants to sweep the house clean, because why? He has our best interests. When God comes in, he don't want no sin in there, because he can't dwell with sin. Yes, we are still in a human body. Yes, we still do sin. But I'm talking about, he don't want our porn collection in there. Got to get rid of that. If we got a drinking problem, we need to get rid of that. If we got a drug problem, we need to get rid of that. If we got a cursing problem, or our tongues is speaking salt water and sweet water coming out and saying, we got to get rid of that. God wants to heal and build. He wants us to heal and build. But we must be built up on the rock. He is the rock. We need him every moment of the day. Remember, the lips of the righteous, this part, see it is. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. You want to be a fool? or do you want to be righteous? Ah, I love it when God's word just interprets itself. People take, I hope there's no discrepancy of when next time someone quotes Proverbs 18:21, that you can take them not just to one passage and say, oh yeah, that's what it say. But no, look at all the passages that deal with the mouth and the tongue and speaking wisdom. Because you and I ain't got no power to, we can't even get our kids to do something half the time. Now, we had, some of us have, as parents did do a poor job in speaking negative to them, because we used to say stuff like, oh, you stupid or you dumb. We might have heard that from our parents. And it did affect us in some way. But guess what? Our Heavenly Father says we are made in His image. He says we are new creations. And because we're new creations, I'm not who I used to be. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about me. It doesn't matter what they say about Daryl. Only thing that matters is my Heavenly Father receives me and says I am His child. And if you're part of the family of God, you're my brother, you're my sister. So our job is to go in and build each other up. It doesn't mean we pacify each other in sin. It doesn't mean that when one of us fall, we don't stand around and rally around and pray and encourage and build up. Yes, we need to do that. All of us need to take a moment and encourage that brother and sister. We don't beat them down, especially if they're repenting. But if somebody wants to stand there sin and they mess and want to make excuses, hey, I got to let you go, brother. My Bible told me that. Hey, I can't participate with that. I might get that on me. Because what you're doing is negative, and what negative, bad company corrupts good morals. I haven't been that way. I'm going to let you do you and pray that God chasing you and get your butt. So you wake up and realize that, hey, you can't win with sin. Let's close this up. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. Oh my goodness, I wish I could take some time to dialogue on that. This is about the gospel. This is about being a person that shares their faith. If you got a faith worth sharing, but if you're walking around cursing folks out and then talking about, hey, you better get right with Jesus, now you're a hypocrite. Because you just had salt water and sweet water come out your mouth. Not possible. Not possible. Oh, we're going to have a part two to this, I see right now, because it just ain't enough time. Whew. But I hope we got the gist of it. If you didn't hear the whole program, please go back. You can listen 24/7 to this. But I promise you, friends, this is not some kind of mystical verse. Proverbs 18:21 is not some mystical passage. Next time you hear people try to use it as some kind of hocus pocus or magician trick or some kind of genie in a bottle passage, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You need to take them right to the scriptures. Take them right to the scriptures. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, you are so wonderful. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come and do this today, Lord. Thank you for your spirit having its way today. I pray, Lord God, that it was received with understanding and wisdom. I pray, Lord God, that this would be an eye-opener of what Proverbs 8 says. How your word continues to verify and give clarity to us. Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that all who came today, Lord, will receive this. I also pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here at the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ, that this will be the day that they come home to the cross, Lord. And if they're not sure how to do that, may they reach out to me, 713-538-4936 on my phone, and we talk about this plan of salvation and the hope of eternal life. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' mighty, matchless name. We say amen. Hey, friends, I know I ran out of time, but I know that this was an eye-opener for many, or will be an eye-opener for many. I hope you were blessed. I know I was. God, that others, if you get this, share it with somebody else who might be trying to who might not know. Some people just ignorant of the scriptures because they don't search the scriptures. They take one passage and they make it a whole doctrine. And next thing you know, it becomes some kind of mantra and it's some kind of bullet statement and say, well, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And next thing you know, we got a whole doctrine built on that. And people think if you say something negative, that it means something negative going to happen to you, or you got the power. If I say I got a backache or I say I got a stomachache, no, you don't. You spoke negative over me. No. That's mysticism, friend. God forbids us from mysticism. We need to search the scriptures. We need to search the scriptures and study to show ourselves approved laborers that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick. If you want to get in touch with me online, offline, you can contact me on Facebook, Daryl Kendrick, and also contact me at Gmail, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Contact me via phone, 713-538-4936. And Pinterest, I'm on Pinterest at Daryl Kendrick, Minister Daryl Kendrick on Pinterest, and you can check out my page there. Hey, I love you, but God loves you more. Go with the Lord today. Encourage, build up. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, but let our tongue today be a tongue that brings forth healing and encourage and words of wisdom. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Character that's found in the chat over the phone.